The Seven Kingdoms need someone stronger than Tommen.
Gotta be talking about Joffrey.
But gentler than Stannis.
Joffrey.
A monarch who can intimidate the High Lords and inspire the people. A ruler loved by millions with a powerful army and the right family name.
Joffrey's coming back. This is great.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require king's attention. I'm king now. King now. I am king. I am king. I am kissing. Kiss it again. Your fingers or your king doesn't fingers discuss your battle plans.
Stupid girl.
Your fingers or your tongue. I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me as always is Catfish. Catfish, how are you doing?
I'm super excited.
Super excited.
Yeah, because just like tonight on Game of Thrones,
right,
there were people getting together who haven't been together in a long time.
Right.
Tonight we have our very own reunion here in the podcast.
That's right. Folks, you may have heard him on Got Your Milk, FX's The Strain Podcast, with us. Again, he's been on multiple times, is our buddy Mork. Mork, how you doing?
Hey guys, how are you? I'm great.
We're doing great. We're glad you're here. Folks, I brought Mork in because I wanted to try something new. So everybody knows, Mork, you haven't read the books, have you?
I haven't. I didn't even know their books.
Okay, and Catfish has read some of the books. He doesn't remember most of them. And I have read the books too much, so we got a wide range of opinion, which hopefully will color our review of tonight's episode, The House of Black and White. For everybody new to the Joffrey Podcast, we cover HBO's Game of Thrones and George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire from a perspective of His Grace King Joffrey, first of his name, first in your hearts. And one of the things we always do is we rank every episode out of 10. It could be 9 Joffreys out of 10. It can be whatever scaling system you want. But to start us off, Mork, you're our guest tonight. What do you think of this episode, The House of Black and White? What do you give it out of 10?
Oh, I enjoy this episode. I think we're still building up steam for the season. I'm going to give it a strong 7 Podrick's special talents.
He was flaunting that special talent at the waitress there, at the little inn. All right, Catfish, so Mort gave it 7 out of 10. What's your thought?
Well, just as a reminder, my rating system for this year is 0, and that is Reek having his private parts flayed, to 10, learning in the cave, finally,
from
Ygritte.
Okay.
Yeah, so 0 to 10. Sure. I'm going to give this a strong 8.5 tonight.
Ooh.
8.5 out of 10.
I didn't like it as much as last week's episode, but I liked it.
Okay, real quickly, then it's up to me, and I am going to be, as I always am, the toughest critic on these.
Oh, well,
finally, something you're tough on.
That's fine, that's right. So last week's episode, the season premiere, I gave an 8 out of 10 to. Tonight, I was wavering between a 6 and a 7,
Ooh.
And I am going to go down to I'm going to give it 6, peel off the black mask, reveal the white mask out of 10.
You know, there is a between 6 and 7.
When we have 10 possible stars, why do I need a point? I am going...
Yes, but if you've ever pulled off your face,
right,
you want to go all the way. In the middle,
Good point.
In Bubba's defense.
So yeah, I'm tough. I just as a general overview, I thought there were some good scenes, but I didn't think it flowed as well as last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And certain things kind of just started up herky-jerky. We'll get to it when we review the episode. But we have a great wide range of opinions tonight. Now, Mork...
As we go through it, you may get me to lower my score down to yours.
Oh, wow.
There are some things I'm thinking about now that... seem to be some time fillers.
Oh,
let's go forward.
All right. Well, folks, seemingly like every week, this is what I like to call a double P podcast.
A double P podcast?
It's going to be a packed podcast.
Podcast.
That's right. It's
a triple P.
You know, Mork, you just don't get it. It's a double P.
Packed podcast.
It's a triple P podcast. Podcast.
It really should just be a double P.
Are we allowed to actually use the word podcast without paying somebody some money?
That's right.
Or we are.
You mean okay. Podrick?
Right. We're going to review today's episode. We're going to give away another one of our exclusive Game of Thrones posters.
From last year.
Exactly. And we're also, guys, we're also going to have a special segment at the end of the episode.
Oh, special guest.
Where we, for those of you who love the old ESPN.
Is Carol Burnett going to be on, guys?
She's pulling her ear as we speak in heaven.
Oh, yes. So, more.
Way to go for the young demographic, Mork.
All right. Hey. So we're going to have if you've ever watched the ESPN show, pardon the interruption, they had this guy, Stat Boy, on who would correct any mistakes they've made. And so sure enough, a wonderful listener in the great island of Hawaii that sent us some corrections, and so we're going to air that at the very end. And but first, you know what? Let's get to these. Let's give away another poster.
Well, let's do it.
All right. So there are six people entered in this contest. That's
if only we had a die that was six sided.
That's 5 less than 11. And so for all our listeners who haven't done it yet, the way you can win one of these exclusive posters is to go to iTunes and give us a written review. You can't just give stars. You have to give a written review. Or to send out a tweet with the hashtag Joffrey of Podcasts. So we have a lot of great reviews.
Or Joffrey of Podcasts.
Right, yeah. You don't have to spell it correctly. So let's go to our first review. And this is a 5-star review from Liz99999. That is 5 nines in a row, Liz. It's 5 stars. The title of her review is, Why Did I Wait So Long? Mm. She says, just listened to my first Joffrey of Podcast after hearing Bubba, that's me, on Podcast Winterfell many, many times. Both guys are funny in inappropriate, slightly sexist, but totally okay way. Hmm. Bubba knows his A Song of Ice and Fire stuff. Fun stuff, give them a try. Bubba needs to get some of that what the white rat was looking for, but with a happier ending. Good job, guys. That's a signed Dire Liz in the store. So she says, slightly sexist.
But she says about both of us.
Right.
You kept on trying to blame me that it was me. And my in my defense,
there she doesn't even mention your name, Catfish.
Right.
No, not at all.
You're dead to her.
She said both. Both are something. In my defense, I'm just going to say I'm bawdy. And I feel that I'm going to prove that I'm equal opportunity bawdy. Right when we start the beginning
Catfish,
of the episode.
You can't see this, but Catfish is showing off quite the décolletage.
Catfish, I think the reason why she says slightly sexist is it seems like 18 podcasts in a row you've complained Daenerys isn't nude in the episode of Game of Thrones. And tonight's episode had no nudity. I'm surprised you went 8.5. You love it so much.
Well, at the risk of being sexist, I did see a little bit of a nipple.
Oh, excellent. All right. So,
does our nudity here count, Catfish, or only on the screen?
I'm happy to see you nude tonight, Mort.
Okay. All right, and so we have our second entry in the poster giveaway is a 5-star review as well, and it's titled, Finally, Catfish, why don't you read this?
All right. I listen to several Game of Thrones podcasts off and on, frequently skipping around because so many of the hosts just don't seem to understand either the show or the books.
Oh, terrible.
Thank God. Yeah, that is me. I don't understand either one of them. They constantly fail to note the subtleties that make GRRM's writing so wonderful. Uh-huh. For example, the R plus L equals J theory, which the host of the Joffrey podcast essentially proved as canon once and for all on a recent episode.
Exactly right. Download that episode if you haven't heard us prove the R plus L equals J theory. Listen.
This podcast is a breath of fresh air for BBs.
Double Bs.
Yes, book boys and SSs.
Double Ss.
Show snobs.
Oh.
Alike. Thank you for all your hard work.
Ooh, wow. Excellent.
So that's beautiful.
That is entry number 2 in the t-shirt giveaway. We have another entry. This is a 5-star review from somebody who calls himself KG of Thrones. You don't think that's Kevin Garnett. It's a 5-star review. It's titled Super Duper Podcast.
This is perfect because Mork is from Minnesota, so you should read about the KG.
Guys, this is an honor.
Let's hear it.
Number Super Duper Podcast by KG of Thrones on tax day. Thanks for focusing on the important things, KG. 5 stars. Such a hilariously entertaining podcast. The hosts are mediocre.
No, fantastic, it
read
says.
It correctly.
It actually does say fantastic. They also do read contests. A must download.
I believe that's rad.
Rad contest.
Rad contest. A must download for all G O Tizzle Tea fans.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, KG of Thrones.
Wow.
All right, we got to burn through a couple more of those. Here's another contest winner. This is entry number 4. It's from Adam Balsam. It's titled Must Listen. He says, I laughed. I cried. I wet my pants. Then I listened to the Joffrey podcast.
Oh, I'm going.
He got it out of the way. Then he listened to us. Then I laughed and cried and wet my pants all over again. After a quick sponge bath, I reflected on the high quality of this show, the quick wit and easy rapport of the host, the near Wikipedic knowledge of Game of Thrones history and lore, the inside access to the Hollywood scene, the spinoffs, the swag giveaways, the interviews. Did I mention the spinoffs? All combined to make this an informative, fast-paced, extremely funny show. If you're a GOT fan, you'll add this to your playlist now. The Joffrey podcast. More fun than a group of Dornish girls on spring break.
Whoa.
Heck yeah. Yeah. We have one more iTunes review in the entry. Why don't you read this one, Catfish?
Okay, it's this is number 5. It's by GlowLiver7149 GloLiver7149. That's the 7149th favorite GlowLiver in your hearts.
Yeah, of course.
And the title of it is, Why Joffrey, though?
What, huh? Hmm.
Even though they have a strange obsession with that little SOB, I love listening to this show.
What?
I think it should be the Tyrion of podcast myself. Oh, no. LOL. But I work overnights at a convenience store in a small town and love listening to my Game of Thrones and Survivor podcast at night. And these guys are top of my playlist.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping me sane during my slow nights, guys. And I want my poster. LOLOL.
Boom. Heck yeah. So those were by iTunes reviews. We had.
You know what I like about him? Is that a lot of these
You're
reviews,
sure it's a him? It's Gulliver?
Okay, could be him or her.
Right.
I guess
I'm being sexist again. Is that so many of the reviews we have are just so serious.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're just so serious and heavy. And he's obviously joking about making it the Tyrion podcast.
No, that's true.
Because he or she would only have a 5-minute podcast to listen to.
Right.
Because the podcast just wouldn't measure up.
Thank you so much. And our final entry, this is from Twitter. This is from Christina Special K7728. She did a hashtag Joffrey of Podcast. Is hilarious. Instant fan, hashtag GOT, hashtag Game of Thrones. Christina, I have to be honest, you misspelled podcast in the Joffrey podcast hashtag, but we found it. Thank you so much. So we have 6 entries. Catfish, do you have a die ready?
I do, and here we go. Here we're going to roll.
Roll it. Let's see. Number 3. Okay, let's see who number 3 is. Ooh. That is KG of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. KG of Thrones.
KG of Thrones, write to us your mailing address. Write to me, Bubba. My email is Fitten, Fitten, at prodigy.net. That's Fitten at prodigy.net.
Now, just to remind our listeners, we are still in the midst of a heavily, heavily contested other contest for a heavy, big, big swag item.
Yeah.
Bubba has received from HBO
That's correct.
Game of Thrones, I believe it's the full Blu-ray, DVD, the
digital
whole the
exclusive.
Whole schmear.
Right.
And
Season 4.
All we asked was all I asked was to send us a picture of you with a Game of Thrones character, not pointing at the TV, but you actually with a Game of Thrones character, and we're still waiting for other hot and heavy submissions.
All right, so listen, we have talked long enough. If you want to tweet at us, the Twitter option, you can tweet at me, Bubba. My Twitter handle is at Fit and Trim. That's FitTenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Or
I am at CJGman67, and that is your faithful podcaster, Catfish.
And Mork, what's your Twitter handle?
Crickets.
That's right. Okay. Always. All right. So we are going to begin this episode. It's the credits. We didn't see anything new today. We went from King's Landing, where Cersei and Jaime and the small council was, up to the Eyrie, where Sansa, Littlefinger, Brienne of Tarth, and Pod were. Then we flew to Winterfell, and we didn't actually spend any time in Winterfell today. But then we flew up to the Wall, where Jon Snow, Stannis, the Night's Watch, everybody was. Then we did our typical almost 180 spin move away from the Wall across the narrow sea to Braavos, where Arya Stark is. And then we flew to Meereen. Notice that we flew to Meereen, but we did not, in the credits, see Dorne. And we actually, for the very first time in a Game of Thrones episode, went to Dorne. I have a feeling Entertainment Weekly implied that we're going to see Dorne in the opening credits, but we didn't tonight.
Oh, that's a real disappointment.
Okay, so we open this episode with Arya Stark on the boat to Braavos. She's double B, Braavos boating.
Braavos bound.
She's Bravo's bound. Mork is right at home here.
Hey. All right, now look, this is where I'm going to say that I am equal opportunity inappropriate.
Why is that, Captain?
Because if I was going to boat into this place, I would make a comment every time I want it underneath the skirt of this dude. This is the biggest upskirt shot in the entire world.
Yeah, you wanted to see some statue ass. You wanted to see some statue private parts. What did you want to see in the upskirt?
It's in a props.
All right, so now, Mork, you have not read the books. Did you know where Arya was going? Like, did you know what this little adventure was? Did you know who she'd meet at the end?
I knew because that's the fella who gave her that little token.
Oh, so you did know she was going to Braavos, and you suspected we'd see him again? Like, did you know we'd see him again in this episode?
I did not know that.
Now, did you know that in the summertime, underneath the statue, there's a little fountain that shoots out?
Hey, no.
I did not know that. I'm just glad I don't go there in winter, though.
So this is our first look at Braavos. There's watermelon hanging. Arya kind of smiled as she saw this new city, which, has a lot of, you assume, canals. It's like he's out in a rowboat taking her. The captain himself is taking her on a rowboat through the city. What did you think of this new, magical land of Braavos, which we visited the Iron Bank before, but we've never actually really seen the exterior of the city. And so, kind of a fun place. What did you think, Catfish?
I was interested in...
Catfish is unimpressed with Braavos.
Okay. We've seen this kind of stuff before, but what I'd like to know is how much of this set is real and how much isn't?
Oh, they really shot this in Braavos. I read that in Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, okay.
They
all right.
Actually, permitting in Braavos.
Well, this was shot. They shot in Croatia.
And
Mork, you're in the film business. You would know this. This is set extension. So they built the kind of lower wall and the two doors here, but everything higher up is a digital set extension. The captain's a nice guy. He's like, hey, I'd give anybody from Braavos would give you a ride here to the House of Black and White. And Arya Stark, she feels pretty good. She goes up to the door. She knocks on the door. Somebody comes to the door, a gentleman we've never seen before.
Correct.
An old man who kind of seems a sour man is the best way I'd say it. She shows her coin and she's like, she says
well,
the infamous
words.
Well,
first she knocks on the wrong side. You see, that's
what do you
the
mean?
Problem.
What door did
well,
she...
Well, she knocked on the white door. You need to white, no, knock on the black door.
Why is that, Catfish?
Well, because... Because
that's the door that opens.
You know what? These silly...
Thank God Mark is here.
These stupid Starks. So, this is kind of a, I kind of don't understand why this guy's like, he's like, you've got anywhere to go. Arya says she has nowhere else to go. And he says to her, you've got everywhere else to go. He like doesn't want her to be there.
No. And this is great. I was so surprised the way this whole thing played out because I had never seen anything like this before except for like in all the Karate Kid movies.
Oh, it's like the Karate Kid movie. I want to be trained in Miyagi. Go away.
Yeah, or Fight Club. It's not like Fight Club either.
Right, okay. So I actually did like that, the guy in the boat has rowed away. She really does have nowhere else to go. And so she just sits down on the steps and kind of spends a night in the rain listing all the people in her prayer.
Now, I have to be honest
her
with you.
Her prayer has gotten shorter.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought there was a lot more people.
Well, they're all dead on the ship.
Okay, but so
how does she
just
know
quick,
they're all
who
dead?
Did she get rid of?
Well, wait a minute. She knew that Joffrey was dead.
Right.
She knew that she said Polliver, and she killed Polliver herself in the season 4 premiere. She doesn't know that...
She thinks the Hound is dead.
Right. She thinks the Hound is dead, but she didn't know how would she know Tywin Lannister was dead? She didn't mention him.
Yeah.
She's unless she saw the previously on. I don't know how she would know. Now, Mork, let's be honest. How many of these people, let's watch her prayer right here, and let's see how many of these people can you tell us who they are?
Well, there's only four of them.
Well, let's see.
Right. Okay, here we go. Who
all
we
right,
got?
Here we go. So first up.
Colonel Sanders.
No.
I know who that is.
Mork, she's hungry. She's like. Okay. All right, so let's see. She's going to list them. Cersei, you know who that is.
Yes, of course.
Walder Frey, do you know who that is?
The twins, yeah.
Right. The Mountain, who's that?
The zombie man who crushed the head.
Okay, and who is Meryn Trant? Why is he on her list?
He was the fella. He was in the guard or something. He had a beard.
He's actually in this episode, yes, okay, so he's in the Kingsguard, correct?
Yeah, and he's got a beard.
And so why is he on our list? Do you remember that? Why?
He killed the dog.
No, that would be a good reason to put somebody on the list. Mork, it's okay to say you don't know.
Well, I feel like I should know, but a lot has been going on.
I gotta be honest.
Not just on
I gotta
the
be
show,
honest with you.
In my life,
I gotta be honest with you, Mork. Yes. I got no clue.
So I got no clue. My dog, the dog, the direwolf. Like killing a direwolf? That's a good reason to be on the list.
No.
It's a great reason. Ned, why don't you make up some more?
Oh, he killed the butcher's boy.
No, that was the hound kills the butcher's boy. So Merrin Trant. No, I'm asking you because some of our missed listeners might know also. This is the kind of, you know, feel free to say you don't know. It's whatever. Catfish obviously feels very welcome saying he doesn't know. Catfish is, he says that about 20 times in the podcast.
Merrin Trant killed the guy with the
Sirio. Sirio Forel, her sword instructor. So Merrin. Now, we didn't see Sirio die on screen, but Sirio's wooden sword was broken. Merrin Trant had a full sword. Arya ran for it, and so that's why Merrin Trant.
So basically, he died because she was a coward. I just want to make that clear that Arya Stark.
He told her to run. He told her. Wait, told her to run.
Isn't that also the guy, though, that Podrick killed at the Blackfyre?
No. Podrick, that is a great point. A lot of listeners, Mork, I love this. A lot of listeners thought that Podrick killed Merrin.
Who was that guy?
So Podrick killed a member of the Kingsguard. On the Battle of the Blackwater. I was about to say the bladder of whatever.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. But that was a guy the show did a very poor job introducing. They introduced him in the episode before the Blackwater. It was a knight named Sir Mandon Moore. And he actually, I don't even think he had any speaking lines.
Wasn't he on Entourage, though?
No, he was not on the...
Oh, that was Mandy Moore.
That was Mandy Got Moore. It. So Arya, she's kind of screwed. And so what's she going to do? She's,
she's going to loiter, apparently.
She's going to repeat the names over and over again, and then she's going to go, screw this, I'll just throw this in the water.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit crazy she was throwing this coin in the water. That was like, it had helped her so much, you know? The first person that she'd actually really killed on purpose, ignoring the stable boy that she killed in season one.
Now, she throws this in the water, and I'm thinking, that coin is gone.
Gone. Not good, Arya, not good. So do we want to finish up the Arya storyline? So the next time we see her, she's doing what she actually did back in season one when she was hiding out in King's Landing. She's killing pigeons because she's, hungry. She's got to get some food. And she
Let me ask you a question.
Boy, Catfish, let's all say, every time Catfish says that, folks at home, drink. Because he's going to say it a lot. Yes, Catfish.
Some people complain.
Who?
There are people, the unstraighteners.
Not around me, they do.
Okay.
Yeah. Not around me.
The unstraighteners complain that one of the things they don't like about Joffrey is that he is a cat killer.
Right.
Okay?
Well, he never killed a cat on the show, but he did in the books. He cleaned up the city of feral cats.
Right, he cleaned up the city.
Right.
Now, she is also...
Arya is also killing
cleaning up the city. Hmm. No one gives her a hard time.
No.
So Arya's best qualities are Joffrey-like, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, she learned from the best. And Joffrey wasn't on her list because she realized what a great king he was.
That's right.
Thank you for pointing that out, Catfish. So she slices the head off a pigeon, and these Bravosi men, who seemingly none have the same accent. You know, the guy in season one had kind of a Greek accent.
They're immigrants.
Okay, oh, that's a good point. Yeah. It's a city of immigrants.
Bravos, exactly.
Exactly right.
It's the Ellis Island of...
So these three Bravosi... Well, yeah. These three Bravosi immigrants.
Instead of a woman with a torch, and a dude with a skirt.
That's exactly right.
And a fountain.
Yeah, exactly.
So these three Bravosi immigrants, they want to take Arya's sword. And she's like, hell no. And she gives them a great line. She's like, dead men don't need swords. What did she say? it was really, really great. And then, but then who comes up behind her and saves her? But sure enough, that sour man, for the lack of a better word, that I
that guy, by the way,
yeah,
great face.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's a hell of a mug.
That is a hell of a mug.
Now, let's get right to it. He takes her. He says, hey, you dropped this, meaning the coin. And did he go fishing in the friggin', did he go fishing he in the Bravo, in the Double B, Bravosi Bay?
And then he leaves, and I'm thinking, like, if I was her, I'd be like, okay. Am I following? I'll follow.
I wouldn't know what to do.
No, I have to say, though, she was very Joffrey-like in her toughness here.
Right. When these guys tried to steal her sword, she says, turn around and go. That is just a statement of fact. I love that.
That is, but she says, nothing's worth anything to a dead man. And the way she says it, cool.
Right. Really go. But these Bravosi men, we didn't mention it. Or maybe we did. They run away when they see the sour.
Right. The dude leaves and she's like, okay, I'm going to come.
And he brings her back to what we assume is the House of Black and White.
Right.
And he gives her the coin.
And then we have the amazing Mission Impossible moment.
Right. He's starring in Tom Cruise's movie. He just ripped off his face. And there's Jack and Hagar.
No, it's not Jack and Hagar.
That's a good point. It's not Jack and Hagar. A man is not Jack and Hagar. He's just a man.
Yeah.
Who is he? And this is real important. He says he's no one. And that is who a girl must become.
Nice. Nice.
Is that that sounds like a Neil Diamond song.
A girl must become no one.
I don't know what that is.
Because a man is no one too.
All right, so that's where we end Arya Stark on this episode. Mork, you have not read the books. What do you see coming for Arya Stark in the episode or weeks to come?
That's a great.
Read the books, so I want you to predict. What do you think? What do you think's happening?
Well, I think there'll be some sort of very painful test. If this show has taught me anything, so I think Arya Stark is losing a finger or an ear. Or both.
Wow. Ouch. Now that is a great prediction.
Wow.
And I'm not happy about
it. Now, considering the fact that they didn't, book spoiler, that Tyrion actually loses his nose in the books and he just has a huge scar here, I doubt that she will be losing any digits or facial features.
It's still possible at this moment, though.
She might have a nice scar. I'm telling you, the makeup department is just growing larger and larger each year.
Oh, they're tops.
Scars.
So, real quickly, Catfish, you rated this the highest. Was there something about these series of scenes with Arya that you really loved, like that helped this episode get an 8.5?
Well, no, these weren't my favorite to begin with. And now that I look at it and see, this is a fairly standard setup.
Right.
Again, as I said, we're talking Fight Club, Karate Kid. I feel like we've seen this trope enough that we could have sped through a little bit, little bit faster.
Okay.
I mean, when you see her show up, is there any doubt in your mind, Mork?
I thought
Rubberface.
Good old Rubberface. I thought it was going to be the guy from that tower with no doors.
The warlock of Karth.
That's who I thought was going to open the door.
That actually would be a
okay.
Good
but fun. Once the door was opened and she was sitting outside in the rain and doing stuff, did you have any doubt what was going to happen?
I thought he might say no soliciting, something like that.
Right.
They got a problem in Bravos.
Okay. Right. Those
missions who keep coming trying to convert him.
I was hoping she'd go work. This is also where the Iron Bank is based, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. She'll be a banker.
They need runners for the bank.
That's exactly right.
No, it's just like a parent, you're like, I want my daughter to go work at a bank, work in finance,
exactly
work
right.
in business, get a good job.
That was Catelyn Stark's.
And the one good thing about banking in these times rather than now.
Yeah, what was that?
Lots of work for tellers. The tellers are being completely phased out to go to banks now.
All right, so let's get to the next series of scenes. Let's get to the next series of scenes. We see Brienne on a horse and Podrick on his feet.
Now,
Up to a inn, I assume.
When Brienne showed up, I noticed Mork really perked up. This must be one of your
favorite characters,
Mork.
No. Mork, what did you really say? Tell the truth. What did you really say when you saw Brienne, Mork?
I kill her.
Oh,
I find her... She's probably the only completely earnest character on the show. I just find her completely out of place. I don't root for her. I don't really care.
I'll be honest. I can feel that way too. I loved her fight with the Hound last season. That was awesome.
That was great. Yeah.
No. Not a fan.
All right. So she.
This is why she was good with when they did the buddy.
She was great.
The buddy cop show with Jamie.
She was great with Jamie.
Yeah.
Because Jamie, Jamie would mess with her a little bit, but Podrick doesn't give her.
But
any...
Pod's special skills don't seem to resonate with her.
apparently, she hasn't given an opportunity because if
she'd
those
have a smile
girls,
on her face,
she'd have a smile somewhere.
Sexist.
Now, Pod, they go into the inn. Pod is flirting with the waitress. And let me tell you, Pod, it's never worked for me. I've never been able to pick up a waitress, no matter how big a tip I live. I could leave a golden dragon and they'd still not give me their digits. But he's checking out the waitress. And before long, By checking out the waitress, he sees that Littlefinger and Sansa are there.
See, now here's the good thing about Pod.
Yeah.
Pod, even though he was not, you know, he was not big, he was just a squire. Right. Not even a squire, he was just a servant.
Are we
he
talking knows, about his special talent?
No. He knows everybody in... He knows everybody right. in King's
sure.
Landing.
Sure.
So he knows all the players.
Yes, he does.
All right, so before...
And certainly, I would be... If I was Pod, though, I would be a little... I would try to hide my face from Littlefinger because I believe he owes Littlefinger about 3 months' salary.
Right. His fun with the Littlefinger prostitutes in season 3 was good. But I want to get... Let's not gloss over this dialogue that happens.
Yes, let's not.
But between Littlefinger, Peter Baelish, to you formal people, and Sansa Stark. Sansa says that she noticed that back at the Royce Castle... He received a scroll. Mm. She wants to know what it says. And he has...
I like he says, you're becoming observant. I wanted to say, well, no duh. I was 2 feet away from you.
Right. So anyway, he's saying, you know, Sansa asks if it was good news. And Littlefinger says, my marriage proposal has been accepted.
So quick for Mork. Let Mork know who his proposal of marriage...
Well, hold on. This is Mork. I'm gonna let's pause it or read this. My marriage proposal has been accepted. What do you think? Because Sansa doesn't know what he's talking about. What do you think his marriage proposal? He says my marriage proposal has been accepted. What do you think he's talking about right now?
I have no idea. I mean, the guy he should be still sitting shiva, if you ask me.
Well, he is wearing black.
He is wearing black.
He's in mourning.
Cersei? I don't know.
Oh, she's betrothed to Ser Loras, who definitely is not right. interested in that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not that many women still alive on the show.
Well,
there are plenty of people named and plenty of foods at every meal.
All right, so
don't worry, there are names out there.
So, Catfish, do you have a guess? And is it okay for you to guess? I think the trailers might have hinted at what he's talking about, so I don't want to guess. But do you want to guess at when he says my marriage proposal has been accepted? Do you want to guess as to what Littlefinger's talking about?
You know, again, I don't know either, but. I'm going to say that it's not him because he's holding on to the lands that he got, but it's a marriage proposal he has for Sansa.
Interesting. I think that's an interesting... Well, isn't she technically still married to evil Uncle Tyrion?
Gosh, I guess... Well, no, she's not. You're not still technically married to anyone who is dead.
So wait a minute. Everybody knows evil Uncle Tyrion isn't
dead.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Unless that dwarf head later in the episode is him. Was that him? I got so confused.
Right. I suppose that is true. But since he's been disgraced, though, I don't know. Can you get
an annulment? Yeah. Can you get an annulment? She never did the deed. When what I mean by there is she never let him go big imping in her. You know.
He never potted up.
He never potted up.
I am not the sexist one.
Sexist. He never, ever potted up.
All right.
Sansa
so.
Will be standing under the Bravosi Titan for a
while. Right. She wouldn't know what's under the Bravosi Titan skirt.
Only one way to find out.
All right. So Pod, look at this.
Turn on the fountain.
This is a huge country. This is a gigantic country they're in. And yet... Brienne has already found both Stark girls.
I will say this, though.
Yeah.
Thank God for that, because in past times, there have been people who just missed each other.
Right.
And I
missed...
thought we were going to have that happen.
Name names, Catfish. Why are you being
there
so...
There were people who... Because I can't remember.
I was too drunk.
I totally agree with you, good old Catfish. They just... Their paths almost crossed last week.
And so now...
I thought that had happened again. But no.
Yeah. So,
well, since I can't remember, and you can, this has happened before, where people have come close together.
Right. Multiple times, Bran and John.
Yes.
Once at the windmill, and then once at Uncle Craster's place, they passed by without really having interaction. So anyway, Brienne is like, Pod, go get us some horses, release the horses, and she tries to go talk to Littlefinger and Sansa Stark.
So she already knows she could be trouble.
Right.
She's like, there's only one. She says, get some more.
Right. And Littlefinger kind of gives her a lot of lip.
Well, he's got that good line there
what?
About a lot has changed, you know, because your loyalty couldn't be bought.
Right. And so Brienne comes, she gets down on one knee, and she says the thing. She didn't get on a knee with Arya, I don't think, but she says, listen, before your mother's death, I was her sworn sword. I gave my word that I would find you and protect you. And why do you think, you know, Brienne, Sansa doesn't agree with her. She says, hey, I saw you kneel before Joffrey. What is going on here?
I think, you know, Sansa's grown up, and I think what Sansa has learned is better to be with the snakes than the honorable people.
Ooh, that's a good call.
Right?
That's
I mean, after all, she was brought up in the Stark household, so she is...
How'd that work
She
out?
Does learn how, like, yeah. you want to be with the snaky people.
No, that's a great point. I would say that Littlefinger also just loves giving disses. He's like, you know, you sworn your sword to Renly. Renly was dead. People accused you of killing
he's
him.
He's all like a shadow in Stannis' face. Check this out.
Right. What do you think, Catfish? Why? I'm sorry, Mork. What do you think? Why did Sansa turn Lady Brienne down? I mean, she's a lot taller than Littlefinger. She could be braver. What do you think's going on here?
Sansa, I agree with Catfish 100%. I also think she's playing the long con
with Littlefinger.
With Littlefinger, and she knows she's got a I'm sure she would love to run off with Brienne and go north, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But
no, let's face it. She again, just like you said, she doesn't know. She doesn't know Brienne.
No,
and I don't care if Brienne is leaning down. She's still scary. In fact, maybe the closer her face is to you, the scarier she is.
Oh well, Brienne. Brienne knew this was going to be trouble. She kind of
right. Well,
Sansa tells her.
Well, as soon as Baelish is like, "Hey, why don't you hang out? My guys will escort you." She's like, "No,
Well, Sansa said you should leave. Brienne jumps on a horse, starts riding away, and Littlefinger's men give chase.
And this is fan service to those HBO viewers who are upset that Luck was canceled.
Oh, okay, because there's horses going crazy, horses running. This is an action beat. Podrick, who just last season we saw had trouble leading a horse, he was not a good rider, he does pretty good here. He's still kind of a spaz, to be completely honest, but he does a pretty good job leading his horse. But they're going so fast, Brienne and Podrick get separated.
Mm-hmm.
Brienne easily loses the people who were tailing her. Pod, kind of, I guess he might have lost the person tailing him, too.
He loses them, too. And then...
He loses his horse.
Then Brienne sees them, and I guess they're just like, okay, whatevs. They did, let's just say, when Baelish said, I know my guys are trustworthy because I pay them, he doesn't pay them enough to go the extra mile.
Right, to follow along. So this was a pretty good, you know, it was just last episode where Brienne was trying to get rid of Podrick, and then this episode we see that she could follow Sansa, which is her, you know, kind of sworn oath, mm-hmm. or she could go back and rescue Podrick, and she goes back and rescues him. So she didn't, she's tried to send him away multiple times, but sure enough, she went to save him.
Oh, by the way, I forgot, yeah. Podrick says a great thing. I love, Podrick's got that, you know, he doesn't have the book knowledge, but he's got the street sense.
Yeah.
This is what I always say. When I go somewhere and there's a bunch of restaurants, mm-hmm. I always say, let's go to the one where there's lots of people because it must be good.
Podrick
has the same reasoning.
God bless.
My mother's the opposite. She's like, oh, look, there's nobody. Let's go here. There's no wait. I'm like, yes, there's a reason. There's no wait.
Podrick, I've seen a lot of cars outside of Cracker Barrel. It's not good. This podcast not brought to you by Cracker Barrel. Brienne, we see once again that she's a badass knight, and the way she takes care of these two guys who are trying to get Podrick is pretty awesome. She goes through the friggin' throat.
Well, that's after she breaks his sword with hers.
Oh, bad.
Good craftsmanship.
Badass.
Hey, what happened to, speaking of swords and craftsmanship, what happened to Grendel or
Gendry?
Gendry.
Okay, yes.
Where's that guy?
Mork, this is why we have you on the non-book reader show. So the last time, do you remember the last time you saw Gendry?
Yeah, he was in a boat.
Right, he was rowing away.
Yeah, he boat-jacked somebody.
No. Davos put him on a boat. He was on Dragonstone getting leeched by Melisandre. Davos put him on a boat in the last episode of season 3 and said, hey, row to shore, you know, he even kind of implied, go back to King's Landing. If they don't know your face, you should be okay.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen him since season 3, so that's a good, you want to keep remembering him, I would assume.
Yeah, just keep remembering him, Morgan.
All right, I'm just going to sit here and remember
him. Number one in your heart.
So Brienne says that, hey, Podrick's like, what are we going to do?
Podrick, by the way, yes. You know, for a guy who's supposed to be supporting her, he kind of like, he reminds her, well, you've been rejected by everybody you're supposed to help, so maybe that means you're donezo?
Yeah, but she says no, she's going to follow from a distance. She's going to, you know, like I do with ladies, she's going to follow them from a distance and make sure... they're safe. That's why I'm following my ladies.
So basically, yeah. Every single character on Game of Thrones agrees with me in that they don't want to be anywhere near Brienne.
She is.
They
just want her
to go away and leave them alone.
She and Pod are my least favorite story of them all. I have to be honest.
It's not even a story.
All right. So then we cut from that. Well, once again, Catfish, you give this kind of. I thought this was okay. I certainly love the action of the sword through the throat, but it. It felt kind of odd that, oh, wait, we're at it in and we run into him, you know?
Well, remember,
so that's
week,
why I was
last
tough.
Week I said
yeah.
There was a thing in the book that is not in the show that was that I felt was...
I'm going to close
no,
my
no,
ear.
No, no, no. I'm not going to spoil it. That I thought was Brienne's main reason for still staying around. So I was surprised why she was still around considering that's not in the series.
Right.
So I was happy that, as I thought last week, it was going to be two ships to pass in the night,
right.
That this storyline is now joined. At least we have something for Brienne to do. It's to, again, follow somebody who doesn't like her.
Right. That's like me in the lake. Wait, edit that out. All right. So, Mork, your general thoughts on Brienne's mission going forward. How do you see this panning out?
What mission? Nobody wants her.
You know,
no one needs her.
Hovering behind Sansa and keeping her safe. You like that, or is it stupid?
From where? She's going to stand outside the castle? Like, she's going to be... Sansa doesn't need her help. Sansa's a smooth operator. She knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing now.
Yeah, that's true.
Double
show.
Okay, so we... any other thoughts on Brienne and Pod before... And Sansa and
Maybe if Brienne grew out her hair a little bit.
Really? What would that do, Mork?
I don't know. She could be more of a sexy knight. She could take off her glasses.
You wonder why people say we're sexist in reviews.
It works for librarians. It can work for knights. God damn it.
Well, then she needs glasses, too.
Right.
She could borrow Podrick's or the Meisters.
Okay, so, hey, we're going to jump to a scene, and I'm going to have to be honest. This felt a little odd and crammed in. So the last episode, had Jaime and Cersei fighting in the Sept over the body of their father. Suddenly we cut to Cersei.
I thought more would happen in the Sept, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're right.
We didn't cover that last week because it seems to be a little bit of an aphrodisiac for these two to be standing over a dead body.
I'm just saying.
Nothing like funerals to remind you you're alive and should get busy.
With your sister.
Right, okay, so...
Or brother.
We jump to this and suddenly Cersei has got a box there or a present that she makes Jaime open. Had she opened it before and says, "Oh, I want Jaime to have the same reveal. Look at this."
Yes, it's the Westerosi can of snakes.
Yeah, he's the bomb sniffer.
Right, it's the can of peanuts you open and a snake pops out. Is that what you're saying?
I love you. I love that this is the most intricate thread I've ever seen. I mean, they really went to all out.
All right, Cersei says there's a snake in it, I assume a dead snake in it, or a statue of snake in it with a little necklace.
It's just
necklace.
A very still snake.
It, right?
It's an amazingly well-trained snake.
This snake is sleeping with the pines!
It's exactly what it is.
And we've got a nice, this is a threat, no shit Sherlock
no
moment.
No note, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, the general thought of this scene is Cersei's like, I'm going to burn their cities to the ground if they touch my daughter. It was evil Uncle Tyrion who sent Myrcella to Dorne. And she's like, Jaime, you got to do something. Our daughter is down in Dorne. That's a double D.
Double D?
Dorne down. And she's like, Jaime, look, you tried to protect our son. You couldn't do that. You tried to protect our father. You couldn't do that. Now,
and then when he says he's going to go, she's like, you're one-handed. I'm telling you, she... Boy, I think she has really taken this concept of negging to get someone interested in you to a really big level.
Yeah, she's been reading the pickup book. Now, he also is like, hey, don't be so loud when you talk about our child. Because theoretically, there might be some people out there who don't believe the rumors that Myrcella and Tommen and maybe His Grace King Joffrey is their child.
I think she made it very clear, three children. So it's Joffrey
you
was...
You mean the prophecy, okay. Yeah. And she's saying, if they hurt my child, it's an act of war. And you're right. She says, Jaime, you're just got one hand. How are you going to save her? Don't you need somebody? And then we cut from that to our boy Braun. And this was, it's good to see Braun, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And you know what I like about Braun is he's like Mork during this podcast.
How so?
In that you can really address him a lot, but then you have to say his name very clearly and look in his face, and then he's listening to you.
Okay.
Well, look, Braun has important things to do, and I'm...
Yeah, skipping those rocks takes a lot of concentration.
Has he put on weight?
Well, I think it's just his robes. He's wearing much fancier robes now. What did you guys think of Braun's intended here? Lawless Stokeworth. What do you guys think of this lady?
I thought it was a better castle than I thought it would be.
I thought it was one of the Frey girls who had recast her.
Oh, Catfish and Mork is being mean.
I wasn't being mean. She has a lovely castle.
Look, I said if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So all I talked about was the castle.
I thought, another reason why I was so tough on this episode is I saw some of the effects work was poor, and I thought that's what was a very fake-looking castle they built here for Braun to get, the Stokeworth Castle.
I think it's a real castle, but it does look like some sort of magic hocus-pocus to put them in the same shot.
Right, he's saying, I'm going to live here at Stokeworth. And
now,
like
what I like about this is Braun, he knows things. Right? Because she says, we're not going to live in Stokeworth because my sister gets it and my sister hates me. And he's like, you know what? Sometimes bad things happen to people, so you never know.
That is true. That is absolutely true. Is Braun taking into consideration the upkeep on a castle that big?
Oh, boy.
The taxes? I don't see Braun on a riding lawnmower, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't either. And let me say that...
And this is one thing. Braun is a man of action, right. And he's done a lot. Do you really think he'd be happy out in the country in one of these castles? I mean, this is like... it's kind of a swampy... I mean, it's beach, but it's not the best.
Yeah, it's not the greatest. Matrode, who was worried about the wedding, she saw Jamie and she just lit up smiling. Mm-hmm. Jamie kisses her hand and she's like, oh, hell yes.
Mm-hmm. And so he's like, scram.
Yeah, he got a bit jealous there.
She didn't like that one bit.
No, why would you? Jamie comes and Jamie is like, guess what? Cersei, you made some deal with Cersei to be betrothed here to Lawless Stokeworth. Well, guess what? Now I've got a proclamation that Lawless is going to be engaged to somebody else. You don't even get Lawless. You don't get the castle.
What? I really was looking forward to the castle.
Not cool, Kingslayer. Not cool.
Is it just me, or is Jaime wearing the first version of the Michael Jackson leather jacket from Beat It?
I thought it was a good jacket. It's a good brown jacket.
I mean, it's beautiful. But
it is beautiful.
A lot of zippers.
I don't think those are zippers. I don't think the zipper has been invented yet. Jamie's like, hey, I've got a mission for you, which can get you even more stuff. And Braun doesn't want to hear about this. He's like, this is going to be bad news.
Well, I don't know, Braun. But see, I've got to think in the back of his mind.
Yeah. He's up.
Braun's looking around and he's like, all right, let's have some more action. I can't believe Braun's ready to settle down.
No.
He's ready. No, he still wants to sow his wild oats. And so he asks Jaime, he's like, where are we going? Cut to where they may be headed.
What?
AKA Dorne. Any thoughts on the Jaime Cersei, Braun, Jaime scenes? Once again, Mark, I love you. So what do you think? Where do you see the storyline going?
I love you too, Bubba.
You've got no idea, so give us your predictions. Let's hear it.
I'm excited about them.
Oh,
as
a team?
Jaime on the road is golden. that's hand. Exactly where he belongs. Braun is our favorite cutthroat. And, you know, Jaime and Cersei together, there's really no reason for them to be in the same room. So, well, there are three reasons, come on. So, no, I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this.
That is not a happy coupling, Jaime and Cersei. What was the last time we saw them happy? I think right before they ditched Bran out the window. I don't think they've been, and they've had one scene.
I don't know if happy,
since then.
I don't know if happy was the word.
Yeah, I'm not even sure they were happy even then.
They weren't even looking at each other.
Right.
Well, that's because... the lights were out. They like the lights being out.
That is true.
Okay, so let's go to Dorne.
Is that what that means?
That is Catfish.
Is that what that means?
Mork.
Lights on or off?
Lights on, lights off. It's a whole thing.
Did I just learn something? I hate to take this completely off track, but
it's off track. Okay, it's fine.
So, Out of Sight is one of my favorite movies of all time.
The George Clooney, Jennifer Lopez movie.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, when J Lo is interviewing Catherine Keener, who was married to Clooney's character, and she tells him that Clooney was a lights on or lights off kind of guy. If you know what I mean. And I still, maybe now I know what it means, but not really. But anyway.
Well, this can be edited right out of the podcast, but we found out today that Bubba is a lights out kind of guy, and me, Catfish, is a lights on kind of guy.
See, I don't actually know what that means.
That's fine.
It's like specifically.
You'll learn, you're young. You'll learn.
Can somebody please tell me?
One of these days.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
What if I have an opportunity to go to Peter Baelish's whorehouse and it's on the menu?
In that case,
you want the candles on?
It'd be candles lit, candles not lit.
So, and if I have to pay a few extra, coins for one or the other, how do I know if it's worth it or not?
It all depends on your proclivity. It's just as if you were to walk in and you decide if you're going to go to the right for the ladies or the left for the men.
Confused.
Yes. All right, let's definitely edit this out. All right, so we get our first look at Dorne, and even before we go over this short scene in Dorne, I want to get your guys' first impressions. Mork, I'm always coming to you. What did you think of our first look at the southernmost kingdom of the Seven Kingdoms, Dorne? What do you think?
I thought it was great. I think it looks great. Seems a little different. Seems like it fits into our little universe. Very exciting.
Catfish, what do you think?
I like Dorne better than I like Braavos. Even though Braavos, even though Braavos is by the sea, it didn't seem it's a business town. It's a business town, port town. You know what I mean? It's more like Oakland than San Francisco.
All right, so we cut back and it close up of Alara Sand. I hope I'm pronouncing this
right. A well manicured hand.
Alara Sand. She's sitting there, and her fist is clenched. She's so
but
angry.
She's got that great snake bracelet. Yeah,
go up.
Very Keith Richards.
And she is pissed off, and she's up on a balcony, and she's looking at who but a Lannister. Excuse me, a quote unquote in quotes Baratheon child, Myrcella Baratheon, aka the product of twincest between Jaime and Cersei, and Tristan Martell. They're out walking in the water gardens, and she is PO'd.
She should be, because Flirty Flirterson down there with the pink dress doesn't know what's going on in the world.
So she is pissed off, and she demands to see Prince Oberyn, or as I like to call him, Head Smush. She wants to see Head Smush's older brother, Prince Doran. Prince Doran's bodyguard, Aerio Hota, won't let her through until Doran says, okay, let her through.
I was distracted this entire scene because, as that happens, sometimes you're trying to remember where you saw somebody before.
Oh, well, where have you seen these people?
Homeland?
I
think he was in Tyrant.
Tyrant.
Oh, I think he was in Homeland, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
No, he's not either of the brothers in Tyrant, but he could have been in Tyrant.
Maybe Syriana.
Well, he's definitely been, everybody, he's definitely been on Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, or one of the Star Trek TV shows.
Oh, yeah, he was great on that.
Well, the entire time I thought maybe he was in Tyrant, but he wasn't, and he wasn't the father, he wasn't the...
So also, not only are we slightly sexist, apparently slightly, anyway, let's keep going.
I would bet anybody...
I'm equally distracted by women and dudes who I don't remember where I saw them before.
Very
good. He's got those piercing eyes. He's been somewhere.
All right, so he is Oberyn Martell's older brother, and she is...
Among other things.
She's coming in, and she's like, hey, you're just staring at the sky. Your brother was killed. And he's like, my brother was killed in a trial by combat. You know, that's part of the law. What am I supposed to do? You know, there's nothing I can do. It's law, not murder. And she says, screw you. He's like, I loved your brother. He's like, screw you. I wanted.
It was very nice considering she was mean, because he's like, you were very good to my brother.
Right.
You know,
my brother loved you. You were good for him. So I'll be nice to you.
And however many people the two of you slept with at the same time.
I got a question.
Sure.
for both of you. Now, he seems to be in some sort of chair on wheels.
That's right.
Does he have some sort of infirmity? Was he injured in battle? Why is he in that chair?
That is a great question, Mork. Now, I will go to Catfish. They mentioned this last season in the Joffrey Wedding episode. Catfish, do you remember? And let's all say it together, listeners. No.
No.
All right. So what it is in that wedding episode, you know, Doran was the one invited to His Grace King Joffrey's wedding, not Oberyn. But he said, you know, my older brother couldn't attend, so I attended. And so they mention in the wedding episode that his older brother Doran has gout.
Oh.
So he's stricken with gout.
You know, he doesn't look like the usual person you would think of stricken with gout.
No. Why is that, Catfish? Describe gout to our listeners.
Well, gout is, from what I understand, it's a disease that really hits people who eat a lot of rich foods. And yeah. So because of that, people who usually eat rich foods are corpulent.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Doran, he looks like he's in good shape, but maybe he's just... He's a prince. He hasn't been doing much, and his body's just deteriorating.
Good point. Maybe he used to be corpulent. The gout hit him, and now he's lost all his weight.
Maybe. Do you think the guard also has gout?
Right. Oh, that, you know, he has sympathy gout.
Sympathy gout.
Like stuff. All right. So he.
No, he mentioned something here that was also mentioned by Oberyn last year.
What's that?
Is that, you know, King's Landing never got to get to this point where it was a decent, civilized place because Joffrey didn't have long enough to rule.
Oh, that's
but
right.
Oberyn said, "We take care. We don't harm young children."
Right.
In Dorne,
as part of revenge.
And this guy mentions it as well. Like, you know, no, that's a bridge too far. And if Joffrey had lived long enough, things would have been decent like that in Westeros as well.
That's true. But she is saying. Alara Sand, she's saying, hey, the whole country wants revenge. The Sand Snakes are with me. And the Sand Snakes are Oberyn's bastard daughters. So she says, they're with me. And he's like, she wants to send pieces of Myrcella back to Cersei, you know, finger by finger.
Now, you have quite a few brothers and sisters. I only have a sister, but did you ever get together and come up with a good name for you guys? I mean, like, I kind of wish me and my sister had, like, a name. Like, we call it, you know, our crew name, I guess. Or our gang sign or something.
Well, I became Bubba because my younger sister, Liz, couldn't say brother. And she'd try to say brother and say Bubba. And so that's...
I thought it was for a completely different reason.
Yes, don't say that out loud, right, Mork? All right, so what do you think? Where do you see this story going? You've got the person in charge saying, hey, you can't hurt Myrcella. You've got Oberyn's paramour and apparently his bastard daughters and apparently the whole country saying no. When she leaves, the bodyguard, Arya Hota...
This was a very nice nonverbal. And I wonder if it was even in the script or if the director was just like, hey, let's just add this little bit in.
You're saying Arya Hota, the guard, looks at Prince Dorne, he's like, should I take this?
You want me to do this? I'm right here. And right. He's like, nah.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Okay, once again, Mork, I always make you do this. Maybe it's not fair of me, but you're the one who can make predictions.
Make sure to look him in the eye when you're
talking
to him.
You're the one who can make predictions. Where do you see this going?
And he loves you.
Where do you see this going?
Well, again, I love you too.
Right.
Now, I'm very curious. I think we're going to spend a little bit of time there and in Dorne. I'm excited about it. Maybe there's some sort of romance between Jaime and the girl from Rome.
Alara Sand, sure.
Alara Sand, yeah. So
that would be something, since she hates the Lannisters so much. She even said Prince Doran, she said, hey, he killed your brother, he killed your sister, he killed your niece and nephew. How many of your family members do the Lannisters have to kill before you get up out of your chair and do something?
Yeah. So
which is not fun to say to somebody in a wheelchair,
yeah,
but
especially if he can have you killed,
right? Exactly.
By basically winking at the giant man with the giant axe behind you. Yeah, I'd like to see it be. I think we've got a lot of warfare going on all over the place, so I'd like it to be a little more subtle and a little more. What's the word? Sexy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. All right. Certainly. All right. So we leave Dorne.
Now, I have to say myself, I am very excited for this storyline.
Oh, good.
Because what's happening is we're starting to get into storylines I have no clue about.
So you...
Most of this stuff I have either read or kind of know where it's going. Even some of the stuff I know that's happening with Cersei and I know what's kind of going on.
Uh-huh.
But this storyline... is completely out of the realm of my knowledge.
Oh, all right. Well, that's pretty exciting.
Unlike most things.
That's true.
Virgin snow, if you will.
All right.
Oh, double entendre.
So we go, we fly across the narrow sea to Essos, and we go all the way to Slaver's Bay and the city of Marine, and we join up with a group of Unsullied. It looks like maybe some of Dario's men, the Second Sons as well, and they are out hunting for the Sons of the Harpy, the people who had killed White Rat, a.k.a. the Unsullied, remembered last week. And Dario is pretty much talking trash to Grey Worm here. He's like, you know, you Unsullied, you can't find out anything because you're not in the brothels, you're not in the taverns, you're not taking part of vices where you can find things out. And so he's like, my Second Sons, we can find stuff out, and so we know where to go. And they bust into this somebody's apartment. How would you even describe this? They busted somebody's...
I actually thought that they were... I thought they were breaking into the whore's apartment.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, well...
Right? Because they didn't leave the body there, right? They moved it somewhere else.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. So I thought they finally found out where the woman was.
Now, Grey Worm goes into this room. He really doesn't, like, even look under the bed. He's like, I don't see a human. There's no human here. And Dario is all just...
Well, that's because
yeah. He's
that's
just because all cock.
Grey Worm doesn't like looking under the hood at things. He's okay. Very time disappointed when he does.
So Dario, he's just a cocky SOB. He's like, I can tell this wall is fake. I'm going to stab this wall. And sure enough, what are the odds? He stabs somebody through the wall who collapses out.
He doesn't kill them. Right. Because apparently if he'd accidentally killed them, he would have been killed himself.
Right.
Would if you guys were there, would you not have looked under some furniture first before stabbing through a wall?
Or how many walls do I have to stab to find that guy?
You know, I would have looked behind some shelves before.
No, I would have set the whole thing up. I would have set the whole thing up. I would have known exactly where the guy was before I did it, just so I could show off to Grey Worm, because I was hoping he would tell Daenerys, and Daenerys would be like, that is super cool.
Yeah, but you already scored with Daenerys.
I know, but you know,
when
now
are
he
they,
wants to finally turn the lights on.
Are they on or off? Not the lights, but is this like a Ross and Rachel kind of a thing? Are they have they taken a break? Are
you're mentioning Friends, and we can't mention your thing about Friends. Thanks, Mork. All right, so we cut from that to Daenerys' small council, and let's just go through. Because I have a feeling, you know, new listeners may be lost with all this, her own version of the small council. She's got former Westerosi knight Ser Barristan on her council. She's got former slave who's been freed Mossendor on her council. She's got leader of the Second Sense, Dario Naharis. And she's got a marine nobleman, I guess, a guy whose family, I guess, did own slaves, but he was nice to slaves, you know, this crazy guy.
Is it me or does he look a lot
his
like daughter. Lionel Richie?
He does look a bit like a young Lionel Richie. Yeah, sure. It looks like a Hisdar on the council. She's also got her translator, Missandei, there. And so they're going through with, what are we going to do with this guy? What are we going to do with this guy that we captured? The slave...
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt. But
no, please.
I just got to ask this question. Dario is telling Grey Worm, look, you guys are terrible spies, or you're terrible getting information because you don't go to brothels. But the dude was killed at a brothel. So they do go to brothels.
Right, yeah. Oh, good point, Dario. Mark,
if I was Grey Worm, I would have just told that to... Look, we're in this mess because my people do go to brothels.
All right, let's go through the positions.
No more brothels, Dario.
Ser Barristan's like, hey, give him a trial. Let's find out what's going on. Mossendor, the freed slave, is like, let's kill this SOB, teach him a lesson. Hisdar, the guy whose family was a slave or a royal family there in Marine.
He's a denier.
He's a denier. He's like, this doesn't make any sense. He's not one of the noble families. He was living in this hut. You know, why would he do it? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
But he's like, noble families wouldn't do this either. You're imagining all this. Look away.
So, Ser Barristan gives this little talk to Daenerys, where he calls Daenerys' father by his nickname, the Mad King. And Daenerys really doesn't like that. She's like, you're saying the usurper's lies. And he kind of says, listen, your dad was a bad guy. Your dad did light people on fire. He kind of messes up what her dad did. He's like, you know, it was the Stark father. It was Ned's father, and Ned's older brother watched the older father burn alive. But he... he mentions these terrible things that the Mad King did to her, and it seems to get through to her there's going to be a trial. I want to go to you guys. You're a conqueror like Daenerys Stormborn. What is the right move to do here? Is the right move to kill this guy because he killed one of your soldiers? Or you assume he had killed one of your soldiers? Is the right thing to give him a trial? Or is the right thing to, what do you do here? If you're Daenerys, what do you do?
Let me say this about Daenerys.
Drink.
She's lucky she's over here. Okay?
In Meereen, you mean?
In Meereen. Okay? Because she's making mistake after mistake after mistake. If she was anywhere where any of this mattered, in Westeros, she'd have been gone 3 mistakes ago. So, I'm tired of watching her make a stupid mistake.
So you think,
how long
you think,
do we
you
have
think
to watch her learn to be a leader?
So you think giving him a trial is a mistake. So what should she do, Catfish? You can't just say that. And
boom,
know.
Done.
Catfish is in favor of killing. Mork, what should Daenerys do in this situation? Did she make the right call of the trial? What do you think?
I think she did, but yeah, she kind of spins her wheels a little bit.
Yeah, I don't mind the decision made here. It's just the whole, like, going through the whole decision.
Why did she still...
I think she makes a big... The mistake she makes is much later on.
Okay, the later on mistake. Well, we'll get to that. Or do you want
to
tackle
it
now?
Let's
just jump to it right now. So the guy is down in a prison cell, and then the next thing you see is the former slave who's on Daenerys' her own version of the small council is Melisandre. And Melisandre and some guys break in, and they're not having it. He breaks in, and he straight up kills this guy. Puts a friggin' Son of the Harpy mask on him and puts him out in the friggin' streets next to a Kill the Master sign.
Boom! That's just like hanging people up every mile, showing them who the business is.
Now, Daenerys, though, specifically said you are not supposed to do that.
Okay, mistake. He makes some really good points. You feel for him here. My father would have died in vain. Fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa.
Well, he's saying, listen... You know, we were so happy when you helped us kill the masters, and now the masters and the slavers and their former supporters, are getting away with it.
It is one of these sort of things where it's a little bit of, communication breakdown. He thinks she wanted him to do it, but she just couldn't say it. So she's like, I get it.
What do you think of the prisoner? I kind of like the prisoner said she doesn't belong here about Daenerys. Maybe the prisoner's right.
Maybe the prisoner is right.
I think the prisoner
is right. She
pulls
all this BS. You know, she's reasonable with the person who's against her.
Right.
And seemingly unreasonable to the person who's with her. Okay? And then the mistake she makes, I don't want
to
jump ahead too much. But
well,
to
just
me,
get it
the mistake she makes is when the people in the crowd call for mercy, she should say, yes, I give them mercy. But we must remember when people make mistakes that we should always give mercy to people.
Maybe cut off his hand and not his head? What do you think here?
Something, but in a way so she can say, look, we have to... We all need to be merciful. We need to be strong with our enemies, but also we need to show some mercy. The fact that she was going to be more merciful to the guy who was against her than the guy who's with her is just bad, bad leadership.
Well, I'm just tired of her listening to 50 people. You can't set her on fire. She's got 3 gigantic dragons somewhere.
That
2
in the
base.
She can't control them.
Yeah, but she's their mom. They're teenagers. It's fine. So she just needs to stop deliberating. And if she wants to be this new leader, she can do it. But, quit listening to all these people.
Let's get to this quote-unquote public demonstration. She brings the guy out. She's got on one hand, to her right, she's got the former slave masters. To her left and kind of below her, she's got the slaves yelling Misa, which means mother. You know, they want her to do it. Hisdar's like, yeah, you should have just killed her. Hisdar's like, you shouldn't kill her in public. And Hisdar, remember, is the former slave guy himself. And I think Hisdar might have been right in this case because this did not work.
And Dario, though, gets him a good little dig. He's like, well, that's what I told her to do to you.
That is pretty good. But she's wearing white. She's this awesome queen. She said last episode said she wasn't a politician. She's failing at politics. This is not
She's failing at everything. Like I said, she's lucky she's not where she's lucky she's in the minor leagues. And that she's got the dragons, basically. You know, her whole thing is right now it's might make it right, because she's certainly not, it's not right that's making right here.
So, so Mork, you don't want her listening to people, but do you like this move of cutting off Mossandor's head here? Mossandor's head. Was this right?
Yeah, but I think, you know, yeah, I mean, I think she just should have either done it or not done it. Or she should have done it with the other guy, or she made her decision, and then the dude was sitting in the jail.
Mercy,
you know,
see,
what were they waiting
the problem.
For?
She doesn't also listen to the people. You have to guide the people, but also you need to listen to them. She doesn't listen to them with the fighting. She doesn't listen to the mercy. She is basically right now, she's not following
anybody.
She's not following the leadership that Joffrey has provided to her.
Good point.
Which is where
she's doing exactly what Joffrey does.
Because Joffrey is no Joffrey.
Chop off the head.
Joffrey is firm but fair. No. Also, she doesn't follow the Stark principle either. Which
or,
is
yeah, he who passes the sentence should swing the sword.
Yeah. She,
well, she's wearing that beautiful dress. I mean, come on, you can't get blood. You would never get out of that dress. They don't have club soda.
So they, these former slaves, are begging her not to do this, but she feels like she has to. She, unlike Doran Martell, she gives the nod, and Daario chops off this guy's head.
She doesn't really give the nod.
She gave a nod. She gave a little nod. And then, suddenly, the Mesa cheers stopped, and suddenly there were hisses.
The hissing. Oh,
yes.
Man.
Oh, my Lord. That was creepy. By the former slaves, all the people she freed who should love her.
Yeah.
Why? You know, she just...
Well, you know why? Because she, it's one knuckleheaded decision after another with her.
Yeah, well, it's pretty bad. So the slaves start throwing rocks at the former masters.
Good.
The masters start charging. The Unsullied start holding them off. This is just, they're, you know, both these people want each other. Slaves want the former masters. The former masters are pissed off at the slaves. Dany's Unsullied and her second sons and even her the remaining Dothraki try to come and save her. People are throwing rocks. Her Unsullied are covering her head from all these rocks that are being thrown at her. This is a failure of leadership.
Absolutely.
Is this a bad sign for Hillary Clinton's campaign?
No, because Hillary knows where all the bodies are buried.
Right, I mean...
Hillary would not have deliberated, yeah.
Folks, just so everybody knows, we love Hillary. We love all the political candidates. We cut back. It's the night. Daenerys has her council there. Barristan's like, I'll guard your door. Grey Worm's like, I'll guard your door. Everybody's like, you know, maybe we should all guard your door.
One thing I actually, we noticed, and we heard in the first scene, you actually did hear the dragon squawk.
Oh, right.
You did hear it off in the distance, and then now we hear it again. So I'm glad to see.
Again, I know why this is happening. I just don't like that it's happening. It's happening because we need to have her go through a whole bunch of stuff because she's not ready to rule yet because the story's not ready for her to rule. But I just don't... To me, it's like running in place.
Oh, I have to be honest. I felt like
she's
been...
Could you please one time?
Right. I'll stop my lies and tell the truth. I think she's been running in place for a while.
Yeah.
And I actually, though, do like this. I mean, it's not my favorite story of them all. But even though I was tough on this episode, I think the kind of dilemmas she's facing, they're complex dilemma. There is no right or wrong answer, except maybe... Hey, find your dragon, which you named after your late husband, Drogon, and get out of there. You know, Drogon...
You don't think it's a huge mistake to be more merciful to your enemies than to your friends?
Well, that is a great point. That is a great... Yeah. But was she... In other words, Mossandor didn't need a trial. He was guilty. You know, why? You know, like, they weren't sure if this guy was a son of the Harpy or not.
I didn't see a trial. He should still have a trial.
All right. Oh, that's a good point. Okay. So Drogon, she tries to touch him, and they get very close. He doesn't try to snap at her or bite her, but when she goes to touch him, he flies away over Meereen.
And I have no idea what this means, but she's looking sad. I guess he's like, you know what? You're a loser, and I'm out of here.
Well, he smells
fear.
Our friend.
He smells,
he smells our friend coming. And I don't know about you guys.
He wants a snack, so he wants Tyrion.
Exactly. A small snack.
And that is what a great segue.
Well, thanks, guys. And all I have to say, Varys is one of the smarter fellows on this entire show. But based on what happened traveling across the Narrow Sea, would you willingly travel with Tyrion again?
Dear God,
would you
no.
go on another trip with him?
No, this to Lord. Me, again, when I said I might bring my rating down, it was specifically when I was thinking of this scene.
Yeah, not much happens in this scene.
We learn this is basically a repeat of their conversation last week.
Right, so we find out they're not going straight to Marine.
Right, that's even worse. That's even worse. Oh, crap. We're not on the road to Marine. We're on the road to Marine.
I totally disagree. These guys are the Hope and Crosby of this show.
Oh, really?
We already talked about that last week, but they didn't sing any songs. If they just sang a song, I'd be happy.
Well, no, Mork, go on, Mork.
No, the more that... When we've never really seen anybody who's as smart as Tyrion... And now he's...
Except for Joffrey.
Right.
Well, of course, but...
You mean a non-god, a non-king.
A right. non-eternal, glorious, graceful king. Yeah, so this is good. They're a good match. I'm totally okay with them having conversations about nothing, just because I think them getting used to each other is fun, and there's going to be some games that they're going to play against each other.
Oh, I
I'm
see.
Looking forward to it.
Well, we find out they're on the road to Valantis.
Some Marinese checkers?
It could be.
They're on the road to Valantis, and Varys once again says, "Hey, Tyrion, you were good at ruling.
Suck it up."
Tyrion brings up the whore he murdered, the whore he murdered in Shae, the funny whore. And he's like, you know, Shae wanted me to leave and go across the Narrow Sea. And I said, no, I got to stay because I like politics. I like the fun of it. I like the Game of Thrones, if you will. And it kind of seems pointless because it has cost Tyrion pretty much everything, hasn't it?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question, Mark.
Drink. Yes.
Last week, we talked about how there were some people we liked on the road.
Yeah.
Like Jaime and Brienne, and we're going to like Jaime and Bronn on the road.
Yeah.
And some people we preferred to be near the seat of power causing trouble.
Well, right. That was your supposition.
Okay, that's mine.
Yeah.
Bubba takes no credit for that.
I don't agree with that.
Insight whatsoever.
No, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe you did agree with me.
Sure.
So do you like these guys on the road with each other, or would you like them more near Westeros causing trouble?
Well, what power is in Westeros?
Cersei.
Yeah, but there's nothing going on in Westeros. I mean...
Okay.
Nothing for him.
No, it's nothing for him, but also, what is she really concerned about? Like, everything at this point, because of what's going on up north...
Right.
You know, all that stuff is become, you know, it's become very, very personal with Marcella and, what's her name, the girl from Rome. I mean, all that stuff is just personal.
Right.
They're in, you know, everyone, no one's really, there's no more Game of Thrones really happening.
Oh, well.
And so these guys, they got to go to where the power is. They got to go. They're going there.
All right.
So, at least they'll bring some humor to that storyline.
Right. Thank God. And if Tyrion and Daenerys do not spend a night together in the gazebo,
no, you want
I'll
some,
be very disappointed.
You want some sex position.
I believe there's going to be a real conflict there. But Tyrion will be lights on. She will be lights off.
All right, so here we go. Focus. Tyrion is frustrated. He was on a box across the Narrow Sea, and now on this journey, he's in another
this
box.
This is a much nicer box that he doesn't have to scoop his shit out.
Varys is saying, listen, your sister has a price on your head. Tyrion says, Liz, what is she going to do? How many dwarfs could there be in the war world? Is she going to kill them all?
And then smash that is a beautiful cut.
We smash cut to what we assume are Qyburn's chambers and a dwarf head being placed in front of her. And Cersei's like, that's not him. Meryn Trant's like, are you guys trying to fool the queen?
It's a funny bit. These guys.
And Cersei's like, don't kill them. I don't want to dissuade other hunters from evil Uncle Tyrion. And what does old Qyburn do? Good old kicked out of the Citadel
well,
Qyburn.
He's a recycler.
Right. He's like, can I have that head? She says, sure. And sure enough, Meryn Trant's like, all right, losers, move this head
well, you know,
to where Qyburn wants it.
He's got a little side business where he makes a nice skull candle holders.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hmm.
So
Dan Aykroyd.
Everybody's got to have a hobby.
So now we leave that scene and go to the King's Landing small council.
Okay, so this is my question.
Say it, Mork.
Who cares about the small council at this point?
Well, it is a very bizarre small council.
It's an old small council, and what are they going to do?
I don't think we're going to see the small council that much. The few salient things that happen here is we see her trying to butter everybody up by giving them titles, right. And one person, her uncle, stands up and says, "I'm not falling for any of this business. Yeah. The king wants me. I'll be a Casterly Rock." Yeah.
Right. So let's just go through the what remains of the small council. You know, Oberyn had his head bashed in. Tywin was killed. Varys is on the run. Tyrion was on it for a brief time, but then kicked out. So, yeah, there's not much left. We have
it's a motley crew.
We have Ser Loras and Margaery's father, Mace Tyrell.
A lot of old white men, if you ask me.
We have my boy Pycelle. The thing about kings is... And we have Kevin Lannister, who was in a couple episodes of season one, one episode of season two, and now is suddenly back in the first two episodes this year. And Cersei says that they're all wondering who's going to be the new hand to the king.
Everybody wants that power.
We had Tywin was a hand to the king, then some other people to the Mad King. We had some other people. Then we had Jon Arryn hand to the king to Robert. Then we had Ned hand to the king. Like, we've had a lot of hand to the kings. What do you guys think? Cersei doesn't want a hand of the king because she wants all the power for herself?
Well,
is that what it is?
Exactly. She knows she can't be now. No one would buy her as hand of the king. So she's just going to be the de facto hand of the king.
If there isn't one, right.
By buttering some people up and telling some people to shit their yips.
Well, she gives Mace Tyrell, who was given Master of Ships, she also gives him Master of Coin.
And as we all
know... He loves it.
As we all know, it's like anybody who's the treasurer for a union, you see those guys in the newspaper when they've stolen $300,000 from the treasury. So bam, he's like, I can get my little taste of all the coins.
Yeah, well, he does a lot of hard work. Now, to be clear, they don't know what else is really going on. And so, yeah, they can act as if, sure, all this is very, very important. But it just feels... very, very stagnant to me.
Now, Pycelle pitches, you know, in the past, Grand Maesters have been hands of the kings, and she kind of completely changes the subject and said Qyburn is going to replace Varys as Masters of Whispers, and Pycelle hates that. He was in the Citadel. He knows that Pycelle was kicked out of the Citadel. I'm sorry, Pycelle knows that
Qyburn
was kicked out of the Citadel for his creepy practices.
So you should know, if a dude's been kicked out for his creepy practices, maybe don't get on his bad side in public.
That's true. That's a great point. But Kevin Lannister, yeah, he was out fighting the wars. He really didn't do too much since Joffrey's Red Wedding solved the most of the war. And Joffrey's victory on the Blackwater solved the rest of the war. But Kevin...
This is awesome. These are like two sharks circling each other and smiling the whole time.
Kevin, he's kind of rude to his niece here.
He really is.
And he's like, I came here to pay my respects to the king, you know, to my dead brother, to you, to the king. I didn't return to the capital to serve as your puppet.
And he just calls her right out.
Right, in front of everybody. And Qyburn knows that's one less person he has to worry about. You could probably say, hey, could I... Qyburn even asks where... Kevin asks where Jaime is. She says he's on a sensitive diplomatic mission. And he's
like, you know what? You got nothing swinging between your legs, so I am buying.
Whoa, you think
now
he's being sexist? You're saying Kevin Lannister's being sexist.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the queen mother does not give much props.
Speaking of queens, where is lovely Margaery?
Margaery wasn't in this episode. Neither was the king, Tommen, you know, the usurper Tommen, who took King Joffrey's throne.
Yeah, well, so hopefully we'll see some more of Margaery's shenanigans as she tries to... She's got her own wily plans to put into motion.
That's true.
I bet she does.
So, once again, Mork, I come to you as the non-book reader. What do you think of Cersei's plan here to just take all the power and have a small council of toadies?
It's a pointless plan because all she really cares about is really her family at this point. It's not about empire. She's not going to conquer anybody. She's not, you know, she's in charge. She doesn't like certain people.
She's Marge and she's in charge.
Thank you. Yeah, no. So it doesn't matter to me. I want.
Oh, you're not interested? I like Qyburn. I like Qyburn a lot. I'm tough on this episode with my ranking of a six, but I like Qyburn. His kind of creepiness of like, I'll take that head. Oh, a dwarf head. I'll take that. I like.
Right,
that.
But I want to let's see him down in the dungeon. Let's see him with with the mountain and all of that stuff.
All right. Because
and I didn't know that the Master Whispers was like being appointed to the head of the CIA, where it was an appointment. I thought you kind of had to earn it.
Not in Westeros, baby.
No? Okay.
Well, no, hold on. The head of the CIA, you don't have to earn that.
No, you're...
You get appointed to that.
Right, that's what I said. It's
the assistant director who rises through the ranks and comes from the bottom. They get there by merit. But the heads are appointed.
But Varys, I look at a guy like Varys, and I'm like, yeah, that guy knows everything. No, I look at a creepy maester guy. No one's going to want to talk to him.
I think you don't trust him.
He's so creepy. And he probably smells. But I still don't understand lights on or lights off.
All right, now moving ahead. We're going to end up with our final storyline to cover tonight, and that is The Wall. We get there, and I have to be honest, everybody knows, maybe this is sexist, I think Hannah Murray, the actress who plays Gilly, is
that
beautiful.
Is sexist.
I love the little kid who plays Shireen Baratheon, Stannis' daughter.
Sexist.
But, snake face.
This three was kind of boring. I'm not down with this. It was a lot of exposition. We start with Shireen trying to teach Gilly how to read. I mean, come on.
Although, I gotta say, this really sucks for Sam. He's right last week, even though he was a wimp and didn't want to fight. Right. He's the only dude who's done the things he's done. He gets no respect. She's like, shqua. He saved her. Right? She gives him no respect.
She gives him no respect because he hasn't put the moves on her. Needs to yawn and stretch with Gilly.
Right.
And what happened to their kid?
What
is the kid still
baby
around?
Where's the baby?
Baby's probably sleeping. They don't have the baby monitor.
Teach the baby how to read too.
Maybe the baby's down there.
Sir Loras is taking care of the baby.
Sir Loras is not at the ball. We don't know where Gilly's baby Sam is, but big baby Sam, the real Sam, is studying, and he said, oh, this one...
Let me tell you an interesting fact.
He's like the youngest Lord Commander of the Night's Watch was a Stark kid elected at the age of 10. And is that foreshadowing of what's going to happen later?
I don't know. By the time we see Bran again, he's going to be 6 foot tall and 25 years old.
And so I believe this dialogue here, it was just kind of slow, but I think maybe in the future it'll be important setup. We have an explanation. She's been on the show since season 3, Shireen Baratheon is. But finally, here in season 5, we're beginning to explain what happened to her.
Now, pat yourself on the back, because last week you said exactly what she had.
Yes,
and you were waiting for the show to explain
it. Right, she has a disease called grayscale. And Gilly tells the story.
Did she get
not
that?
Gout.
Not gout, right.
I think she got that at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Right, you got it very true.
It's those damn super magic bands.
So Gilly tells this rather horrific story of two of her sisters at Uncle Craster's getting grayscale. And long story short, they ended up kind of covered in this grayscale, not even acting like human. Craster took them out on a rope and took them out into the woods, kind of like when your dog goes to the farm upstate. Is this foreshadowing of what's going to happen to sweet, innocent Shireen Baratheon?
I don't think so. If she's lasted this long, she said she was cured. Plus, Melisandre will burn her if she gets up.
Oh, yeah. No, they made this. They made it very clear. Once you get this thing, boom, it hits you and you're done. I don't think it's the kind of thing that comes back.
Shireen's mom, Stannis' wife, Selyse Baratheon, comes down. She's like, don't talk to wildlings. Your father defeated them.
Now, there is a good reason for this woman to be here, because she makes Cersei seem like a breath of fresh air.
You're saying Selyse Baratheon is all sorts of Lord-alike crazy.
Stannis is the wacky one in the relationship. Let's put it that way.
You have the normal one. He's like the level-headed.
He's the crazy. He's the crazy, wacky funster.
She's looking better, though, than I remember her. Is that just
me? Yeah, I think she shaved her mustache, Selyse Baratheon did. And so she kind of hints that the wildlings are going to be mean to Shireen. I wonder if that's foreshadowing. Hmm. Boy, this show, it seems all set up. But they spent so much time setting up this grayscale, you wonder what's going on. We cut from there up to what you assume is just a room Stannis has taken over here in Castle Black.
And there he is, Double G.
Double G.
Grumpy Grumperson.
Grumpy Grumperson, Jon Snow. He's like, Jon Snow, I'm a king. I ordered this guy burned at the stake. You kind of thwarted my
you
command.
You shot him.
And he also gives an important advice. You give people too much kindness, they won't fear you. And if they won't fear you, they don't listen to you. So what do you think? Only leaders have to be feared?
That could be foreshadowing. Also, it's a good point. Yes, they have to be feared. They have to make strong decisions. But they have to keep what their people want in their minds.
Yeah, that's why, let me tell you, here in the state of California, Governor Jerry Brown, he's always killing suckers. He's like, if you water your lawn, you're dead. And that's why we listen to him.
Now, there is something weird here where Stannis is like, you know, you have to do things a certain way, otherwise people will respect you. But then he's like, oh, John, people follow you.
Well, she shows John a scroll he got in via Raven. He was asking some of these great houses of the North to support him. And the Mormont house on Bear Island says, you know, no, Stannis, we won't support you. Bear Island knows no king but the king in the North whose name is Stark. And John kind of smiles. He likes that. He likes people being...
Hells, bells, yes.
No. He's saying, listen, Jon Snow, I got this... all right, you didn't listen to me about burning the guy alive. He says, listen, there's going to be a new Lord Commander. It'll probably be Sir Alistair Thorne, who
right.
doesn't like people. He really doesn't like you. He's going to make your life a living hell.
And you know what? I got to give it to John, right? He basically says, well, you know what? Tough titties. That's what I signed up for. You know, he's not looking for an easy way out.
But Stannis is like, listen, if you bend a knee, you should give me your sword. You'll bend as Jon Snow. You'll arise as Jon Stark. And you can, and I can get you as a king out
this
of the Night's Watch.
This is where Stannis is planted all wrong. If I was Stannis, I would have Ser Davos put a bucket in front of Jon when he
right.
was walking. So he would trip. He would drop the sword. He would be down on his knees. And then if I was Stannis, I'd run right in front of him. And I would say, you are now Jon Stark.
Bam.
And then you can't take it back.
Now, Mork, you haven't read the books, or you've read the third book. Did you read this part? Because this is
no,
actually,
I
this
I,
is the
I,
end of the third book.
Yeah, I did not finish the third book, and this is something we should be upfront about. I only read after it was already on the show, but then I stopped in the middle of the second book.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Well, help me out. Did you think that suddenly this was going to be the setup of the season, that Jon Snow was going to become Jon Stark?
No.
You didn't. You knew he won it.
Oh, no, I didn't know either way.
Oh, okay. Well,
but what did you surmise in the moment?
Yeah, what did you think when Stannis said, hey, I'll make you legal. I'll make you, you know, not a bastard.
I didn't think he would go for that.
Okay.
I didn't think he'd go for it. Just because he's got such a, like, that's what he's really got from Ned is this...
His
you know,
honor.
Is
right.
this
it's
honor
just,
thing.
Even
though,
stupid,
you know... Even though he
and just self-destructive...
Well, time out. And this is the other thing. If you're John, after you've done everything that you've done, you've already been the shittiest, you know, ranger
right,
already. You've already been under that guy's thumb, and now you've gone, you kill people, and you've done all sorts of big boy
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be afraid of going back under. And oh, by the way, they know. Everyone knows about the White Walkers up there. Everyone knows that shit is happening. So it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be like it was when nothing was
going
on.
Well, John knows that at least his brother Bran is alive north of the wall because Sam told him, hey, when I came through the wall, I let your brother Bran through the wall. So John considers being Lord of Winterfell, even though, I mean, I guess if he suddenly legitimized, he would be the oldest Stark and he would be Lord of Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Sam is talking to him about it. Sam's like, let's do it. It's a great plan. But John's like, I swore a vow, you know. Both.
I swore a vow before I boned Ygritte and hung out with Mance Rayder and yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't mind his decision.
All right, so there's a vote now. This is a bit awkward. They cut down on some stuff. As we know, there are three castles at the Night's Watch, so these guys had to come from the other two castles on the edge of the of Westeros.
Sure, why not? Because you don't
they
need
all,
to worry about what's going on.
Right,
the
wildlings or White Walkers,
yeah.
Right? They all drove in, and so now we have
they
a...
Drove in.
They all took the, you know... They
some of them got Uber.
They Ubered in, and there's like, we're going to have a vote. And Ser Janos Slynt, the person I like to call Double P...
Double P...
Pantry protector. He's putting his weight behind Alistair Thorne. He's like, listen, Alistair Thorne has fought the wall. He led the defense of the wall with the wildlings attack. He's my guy. somebody else, you would assume from the Shadow Tower, which is on the western edge of Westeros, he's like, listen, Sir Dennis Malister, this old guy.
Yeah, how about this guy who's about to die? Let's do that.
Let's nominate him. He's like, look at John McCain. Let's nominate John McCain to be leader of the Wall.
And of course, they do the old fake out, right? We're about to
right,
do
okay,
it.
Okay,
right?
We're going to vote.
And then finally,
Mace Draymond's like, okay, so if you want to vote for this guy, you get the triangle. If you want the if you want the square, vote for Dennis Malister.
And then Samwell pipes up, and John gives him a ixnay on the speech nay, which I don't understand. Why
John
he
could
want
tell.
To be?
John could tell why Sam was talking.
But why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? I mean, I can understand why he was not campaigning for it openly, but why?
Now, when Sam starts to talk and push John, Jano Slint starts saying, you know, you've got a wildling girlfriend. You're supporting your wildling brother. And then Sam just snaps.
Sick burn.
And so Sam, he goes, you know, my girl's name was Gilly. Brother Swint knows her quite well. They cowered together in the larder during the battle at the wall. Slint's like, lies. And Sam's like, a wildling girl, a baby, and Lord Janos. I found him after the battle was over, and this is my favorite part, in a puddle of his own making.
Sick of burn.
And even Maester Aemon, blind Maester Aemon, is giggling.
Maester Aemon's like, good one, Sam.
And Sam's like, while the women were hiding, John, while, you know, the women, the children, and General Slint was hiding, John
was TCB.
John is the one who saved us. He took charge of the wall defenses after Alistair Thorne was... He killed the Magnar of the Fens. He went north to deal with Mance Rayder, knowing it only certainly meant his own death. This is...
Let me tell you, as he puts this out, I mean, I would have Samwell Tarly do my resume any day.
Right. Let me tell you, everybody running for president should have him as their communication secretary. This guy is good.
And what that does not seem fair, however,
what?
As if he was an attorney for the defense,
yeah.
is that Double P gets Double P. the last word.
Not the pantry protector. Alistair Thorne stands up.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah. Alistair Thorne's like, listen, okay, I was injured. John did lead some stuff. But who does Jon Snow want to command? Does he want to command the Night's Watch? Or the wildlings. And I got to give it up to Alistair Thorne. He makes a good case. He's like, listen, we know he got busy with a wildling girl. He was good buddies with Mance Rayder. Who knows what
happened? Well, here's another question for you. Drink.
Yes.
Based on just the scenes we've seen from the show.
Right.
Because there's a lot more in the book about what John actually does.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the scenes from the show, if you were voting... Would you vote for, and not knowing personal stuff about Jon Snow?
Well, hold on. Likeability in any election is important.
Right.
And Alistair Thorne, you know, you could say he was a good drill sergeant, whatever. He wasn't a cool dude. And so maybe.
Well, that's the thing. In the book, you see a lot more of this kind of the trope of like, at the crew that Jon Snow came in with,
right.
He really helped them a lot. He helped train them. He became a leader among all those people, which I feel like we didn't see so much in the show.
Well, he taught some of them how to fight and, you know, all that. They all died.
Mork, who would you vote for between these three? You could have old John McCain. Mm-hmm, you could have mean drill sergeant Alistair Thorne. Or a mopey guy who got busy with the wildlings, Jon Snow.
Right, remember now, you were sitting here.
Yes.
Doing whatever you had to do, dealing with mopey stuff.
Yeah.
He's out there riding around north of the wall, partying with the wildlings, and you saw the fire crotch that he got busy with. Aren't you going to be a little bit jealous?
So, well, hold on, let's hear it. Mark, what do you want?
Well, first off, I'd like to know how they stand, where they stand on Cuba.
I believe relations are warming.
The point is, I think, look, if we lived in a just world, Gary Hart would not have lost the election for fooling around with Jessica Tandy, who was
always the most
not Jessica
latest
Tandy.
References you on. Mork, you've got more late references in.
Well, she's a redhead. She's a redhead. Ygritte was a redhead.
That's what happens when you get yourself involved in
Jessica Hahn. Thank you
in monkey business.
Hey!
Oh, nice.
Hey,
we are high-fiving.
We are the most popular podcast of 1984, everybody. All right.
Gary Hart.
So you haven't said, Mork, who would you vote for?
I would vote for Jon Snow.
All right. And sure enough, spoiler alert, that's what it is. So where do you see
Yeah, but well, but let's not forget.
It was
close. The deciding vote.
Blindy guy. Could he even tell who his... Oh, it was Shapes. He could tell.
Yeah,
who
he was Shapes. Yeah. So this is awesome. So he's like, whoa,
hey,
whoa,
is
what?
That the captain?
I didn't understand what was happening here first. I thought he was like counting to make sure it was even.
He was trying to find out what... Oh, that's cold. He felt Alistair Thorne's squares and then said, I'm not voting for that guy.
Oh, it was a little... But since I didn't remember who was whose, it wasn't a fake out to
now,
me.
Now, if you were the little boy who had killed your new
right.
Lord
this
Commander's...
This is interesting. I want you to say this.
Girlfriend, would you be so happy? Would you be thrilled that...
well, remember, he last week... He was fighting with him, and the kid seemed to feel that he was going overboard.
Yeah, and at the end
Remember?
Of the show, when Jon Snow left the burning of Mance, when Jon Snow left because he was too upset, the camera focused on little Ollie's face for a bit, and Ollie looked pissed off. He looked pissed off in the training, and that's why I said maybe Ollie will hate Jon Snow. But in this episode, he claps for Jon multiple
But maybe
times.
He's pulling the old reverse-a-roo, like he didn't vote for him, but he's like, well, he's in charge, so let me pretend like I voted
well,
for
him. Well, he clapped for Jon when Sam mentioned him. Then when Sir Alistair mentioned the wildling, he got angry. But then when Jon won, he clapped again. This kid, he's like John Kerry. He's flip-flopping. This is the All Politics podcast here on Game of Thrones. So that's it. Episode 2, titled... The House of Black and White. This episode was black and white. You either loved it or you were a bit rough on it. Guys, we're going to end this podcast before we get to our Stat Boy new segment. We're going to end this podcast the way we end every podcast, naming our Joffrey of the Week. It could be somebody in the episode who displayed great leadership, great vision like Joffrey, somebody in the real world who displayed great stuff like Joffrey. Whoever it is, this is somebody we're going to nominate who this week of April 19th really did it up. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Let's hear it, Catfish.
Since this is the political episode,
right?
I'm going to nominate Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal.
Oh, from the great third world country of Louisiana. Okay,
correct.
Let's hear it.
Correct. And that's where Ms. Catfish is from.
Oh, okay.
And I nominate him because to close a $1.6 billion shortfall, they've decided that they're going to cut the state university budget by 82%.
Ouch!
So just going to show you that some things are important, and education is not one of them.
Oh,
fair enough, fair
gracious.
Enough.
So that is your Joffrey of the Week. Mork, who is your Joffrey of the Week?
My Joffrey of the Week is the leader of the gang of ruffians that confronts young Arya in the alley. And some people would think that they were trying to bully her or be aggressive. I think they were just spending some quality time with her, welcoming them with some perhaps rough humor to Braavos while they were waiting for her escort to show up. And so kind,
right.
Merciful,
and she just couldn't take a joke, like all the Starks.
Thank you. Yeah, a little bit. So the guy who sort of looks like Chris Martin from Coldplay, he is my Joffrey of the Week.
Well, for my Joffrey of the Week, I'm going to go to the real world, if that's okay. There is somebody who hasn't been leading a Seven Kingdoms like Joffrey did so perfectly, but he's been leading a record label very well. And he, just like Joffrey, he's been taking out usurpers. My Joffrey of the Week is Suge Knight.
Oh, Suge!
Who has really seen usurpers and just run them down. Literally.
And back over them.
And you know what?
What?
He is the kind of leader who does it himself.
Right, he swings
the sword.
Yeah, he's not going to, he takes it out. What I love is sometimes, you know, like how Joffrey had to be held back from just wiping out all the Starks in one blow. Joffrey
and third
did it.
Grade.
Joffrey did it in multiple blows. Suge Knight, you know, in his trial, he got so angry and nutty that they had to chain him to a chair. They chained him to a chair, good old Suge Knight. Which is the only way you could contain...
You can't keep a good leader down.
You can't keep a good leader down.
Unless you chain them to their chair.
Unless you chain them to the chair. Joffrey was chained to the Iron Throne in leadership. Suge Knight chained to the jury chair here in America. So those are my Joffreys of the week. Our final brand new segment. Let's get to it. Now, folks, we're not perfect. Like Joffrey.
What?
We're not,
get out. Exactly. Get
we're
out.
Not Joffrey.
We're get not out. We're not Joffrey. We're not perfect. So let's go to our stat boy, the Kraken, the Black Kraken. What is he?
let's go to our stat boy, also known as the Black Kraken.
Ooh. Who's going to correct some mistakes we made on last week's podcast.
Welcome to the Department of Corrections with the Black Kraken. Let's get Kraken. Stupid mistake number one by our host. Hello, it has to do with fire. How could they miss this? These boys talk on and on about the fact that the actress playing Daenerys now refuses to do nude scenes. Well, bully for her. Then, they're completely mystified that she's afraid of her dragons. Hello? We know that she's flame-resistant because of Khal Drogo's wedding pyre, but her wardrobe, sadly, is not. They don't have an underwriter's lab in Westeros, so her clothes are going to go up in smoke if the dragons breathe fire on her. Wake up, boys. My lord and savior, Joffrey. Big mistake number two. The boys have rightfully stumbled upon the fact that, of course, Joffrey's not dead. But do they figure it out? Of course not. So we'll do some quick algebra to try to improve their deductive skills, although it's like trying to teach Hodor vocabulary. Here we go. B equals W. J, obviously, greater than B. Ergo, J equals D. Have you figured it out yet, boys? Do 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 do. All right, I've given you plenty of time here. You'll probably need to pause this to figure it out. Bran equals the wolf. He can warg into a wolf. And as we all know, obviously, Joffrey is far, far greater than Bran, or any Stark, or all the Starks throughout time, of course. So, J greater than B. Therefore, J equals another rebellious teenager who's having mommy issues, who's high-spirited, likes to discipline things, be they cats at King's Landing, or the occasional shepherd girl who gets in the way while he's feasting. Obviously, what happened is Joffrey warged into Daenerys' dragon, and there we go. Mystery solved of Joffrey's so-called death. Wake up, boys! Let's get cracking! This has been the Black Kraken.
Oh, that is... He is right, Black Kraken.
It feels like it hurts a little bit, and yet on the other hand, I'm not quite sure what he's saying.
Now I know how that pigeon feels.
I am so glad to be corrected. We have got a... These people are unstraightening the record. We're straightening the record of King Joffrey. So if you hear us unstraightening anything at all, please contact us. You can contact me, Bubba, on Twitter, at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim. And you can contact Catfish at
CJGman67. And we'll be happy. Just tweet us if we made a mistake, right. If we missed something. We'll be happy to correct the record because the only person in this world who could ever be perfect is Joffrey.
That's true. Mork, you still don't have Twitter. What is your MySpace account?
7.
All right.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. So, everybody, we got a third episode. Maybe we'll have some disagreement. Maybe we'll love it. You got to listen. You'll hear us next time on
the Joffrey of Podcasts.